Hello, this is Perfect Circle, Garlic and Grass Exclusive Interviews. My name is Tony Bersunas. Today we're talking with David Cobb, the Green Party's candidate for president in the upcoming election. David Cobb is a native Texan. He grew up in the small shrimping village of San Leon, Texas, where he worked as a construction worker for several years before waiting tables and putting himself through college. He graduated from the University of Houston Law School in 1993, and then in 2000, Ralph Nader asked him to manage the Green Party effort in Texas. He coordinated the ballot access drive there that collected over 76,000 signatures in 75 days. When he ran for Attorney General of Texas, there were 4 local chapters of the Texas Green Party. At the conclusion of his campaign, there were 26 chapters. Today, Cobb serves on the steering committee of Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County, a citizens group dedicated to contesting and challenging the illegitimate corporate usurpation of our Constitution and our government. I reached Cobb by phone. He was on the campaign trail in Florida. Yeah, David, how you doing?
Great.
Good. All right, well, so we just got a few minutes, so I'll get started real quick here.
You bet.
So just real quick, why are you running for president? Why is it important for American citizens to vote for you? What if folks decide to say, register green, but then vote for Kerry?
Well, I'm running for president as the Green Party candidate to ensure that the only political party that's advancing a genuine progressive agenda has a presidential candidate. The Green Party is the party opposed to the war in Iraq and demanding that our troops be brought home. The Green Party is the party calling for development of sustainable energy sources to wean ourselves off of the addiction to fossil fuel that's driving not just war but also global warming and ecological destruction. It's the Green Party that's calling for single-payer universal health care. It's the Green Party that's calling and demanding that we raise the minimum wage to a living wage. The Green Party is providing genuine political leadership on a genuine progressive agenda, and the Green Party needs a presidential candidate, and I am honored to be that candidate. Now, I'll also address your other question, which was, what if progressives decide to register green and vote for Kerry? I say, listen, that's their right. I'm glad that anybody registers green. I'm trying to convince people to vote for me and Pat LaMarche for president and vice president, but if they decide that they're not going to, but are willing to vote green down ballot, or otherwise, and more profoundly, register green so that they can join the 500,000 other people in this country who have joined the only political party that's building a progressive movement, then that's great, and I'm encouraging people to think of it this way. When you register green, you're actually voting every single day for peace, justice, democracy, and environmental protection.
And what are the differences between your candidacy and Ralph Nader's? Why are you both running?
Well, I don't know why Ralph is running. I want to be clear about that. He has the right to run as an independent. He has the right to run as a Reform Party candidate. But I don't understand why he's doing it. I'm running in order to grow and build the Green Party, not just in this election cycle, but for the future. On November 3rd, the Green Party will still be here. Because candidates come and go, the Green Party is here to stay. Ralph Nader is running as a Reform Party candidate in some states. He's running as an independent in other states. So I understand what the goal of the Nader campaign is. I am committed to building the Green Party as a democratic organization that will ultimately and completely and thoroughly change this country. On the issues, Ralph and I have remarkable similarity, but on our commitment to the long-term future of the Green Party, I think I've demonstrated that I have the staying power to grow and build the Green Party.
As there were in 2000, there are movements today to swap votes, whereby voters in safe states, quote-unquote, agree to vote for David Cobb if someone in, quote-unquote, a swing state will agree to vote for John Kerry. What do you think about this?
Well, I think it's a creative way to try to exploit the inherently undemocratic nature of the Electoral College. So anybody who wants to participate in that, I actually totally understand why they would do it. I want to be clear unflinchingly, my desire is to have people vote for David Cobb and Pat LaMarche and Green Party candidates everywhere. But for people who live in the so-called swing states where they want to vote for the Green Party but are too terrified to do so, but they are willing to engage in that vote trading system that you've described, then I completely support people finding ways to take advantage of the Democratic Electoral College.
And what would be the difference, in your opinion, on the ground in Iraq between a Kerry and Bush presidency? And also, what would be the difference regarding a military draft?
Well, to tell you the truth, based on their comments at the debates just a few nights ago, there would be no difference. Although, sadly, John Kerry said during the debates that he was calling to add two more full divisions in Iraq and double the number of special forces. And John Kerry called for sending U.S. troops into Fallujah. This is actually escalating the war. John Kerry wants to fight it more brutally and more viciously. John Kerry used the words kill or killing at least five or six times in his presentation. I was stunned. You know, let me describe now the David Cobb Green Party plan. And that is, number one, if I'm elected on November 2nd, I would, on November 3rd, issue a public apology to the people of Iraq for the immoral, unconstitutional, and unethical war that was waged upon them by the Bush-Cheney administration. Step number two, immediately rescind every one of the corporate crony contracts that Bush entered into with Halliburton Corporation, Bechtel Corporation, and the rest of the lot. Step number three, call for and convene a summit that would be comprised of members of the Iraqi civil society leadership, not the puppet government, but the actual leadership on the ground of Iraqi leadership, and bring in also representatives from governments in the surrounding area for a peace summit, and advise, and by the way, that summit should come under the auspices of the United Nations, and advise that when I take office in January, the U.S. troops are going to be withdrawn. And if there is a need for a safe space, a genuine peacekeeping force to provide security during the time period when Iraq is rebuilt, then the peacekeeping forces should come from the Islamic world and be from troops who speak Arabic, so we can de-escalate the clash of civilizations that the Bush-Cheney administration have created. So, you see, I've just described a five-point program to end the war in Iraq, bring the troops home, and move towards genuine global security. Neither John Kerry or George Bush have such a plan. Yeah. Secondly, big picture issue, John Kerry and George Bush are both heading us towards a draft. The Green Party is adamantly opposed to the draft, and I'm encouraging people, if they do succeed in getting a draft, I encourage you to violate the law. Do not allow your sons or daughters or husbands or wives or yourself to become fodder for this military machine.
Wow. Garlic and Grass is another point. Garlic and Grass has done a lot of work calling for a more open investigation into the massacre perpetrated on September 11, 2001. You've called for more investigation, too. Why do you feel that a real, full 9/11 inquiry is important when there are so many other pressing issues today?
Well, it is clear that the U.S. government is lying to us. The so-called commission on 9/11 is obviously engaged in cover-up. There are far too many questions left unanswered, and I join with the literally millions of other Americans who are demanding that a full and unbiased investigation be conducted so that we can find out who knew what and when and what actually happened. Sadly, I do not trust the commission's report. I think that it is woefully inadequate and incomplete, and I want to know the truth, just like the rest of America does, and I would encourage people to check out 911truth.org for a list of the very serious questions that have been left unanswered.
And very quickly, you were interviewed in Z Magazine's September issue. That issue also contained an interview with Chip Berlay, in which he essentially asserted that all conspiracy theories are a priori false, evidently even those about Iran-Contra and Watergate. What do you think about this?
Well, I mean, look, it is absurd to assert that all conspiracies are a priori false. That's just absurd. You know, only falsehood is a priori false, and the truth is the truth. We don't know what happened on September 11th, and, you know, we certainly know that we were lied to during the Iran-Contra investigations. It's quite obvious that we've been lied to repeatedly in this country, from the Gulf of Tonkin the Spanish American War and the explosion of the U.S. battleship Maine. I mean, the number of lies that have been perpetrated by the U.S. government is legion. So
The planet certainly seems to be entering a critical time. The end of oil, a serious deterioration of the natural environment seem to be rapidly approaching today, to say nothing of further war and corporate globalization. How do you think, ultimately, the planet should be governed during the next century? And I know this is a long question.
Well, it is. I mean, ultimately, the planet needs to be governed by the people. And I mean this very seriously, because today, nation states are not even ruled by the people. The reality is that the entire planet is being completely ruled and governed by a very small number of unelected, unaccountable corporate CEOs. They are literally making fundamental public policy decisions in this country and throughout the world. So I want to be part of a movement that democratizes not just this country, but literally the world. People on the ground should be making the decisions that affect their lives on a day-to-day basis. I think that we are seeing a movement, a genuine democratization movement, not only in this country but throughout the world, whether it's the Zapatistas, whether it's Václav Havel and the Velvet Revolution, whether it's people power of the Philippines. Something profound is happening, and it's happening in this country too. And I think the Green Party is poised to be the electoral arm for the growing movements for peace, justice, ecology, real democracy. And by democracy, we mean the people rule. And that's the direction I believe that we're actually heading in. And remember this, Tony, the Green Party will tell the truth. We will always tell the truth, and that includes telling the truth about the looming ecological catastrophe, telling the truth about a racist, sexist society that we live in. But we'll also tell the truth about the incredible solutions that exist if only we have the political will to implement them. The corporate-controlled Democratic and Republican parties not implementing the solutions that exist because corporate cash is like a cancer that's massatized within those bodies. There are so many good rank-and-file progressive Democrats who are hijacked by the two-party system. And that's why we're calling for electoral reform like proportional representation and instant runoff voting to create the space necessary to move towards genuine democracy.
I see, David, that it's been 10 minutes. I have two more quick questions. Do you have time?
Yeah, I can give you that time.
Great. The first one is, what do you feel, if anything, are the weaknesses of your candidacy?
Well, I think that the biggest weakness is the fact that the corporate media is completely ignoring us, even though the Green Party is getting larger, stronger, and better organized. Consider this. In 1996, there were 10 organized state Green Parties in the entire country, only 5 with the ballot line, and there were 40 elected Green office holders. In 2000, brick by brick, we had grown to 21 organized state Green Parties. 10 of them had a guaranteed ballot line, and there were 87 elected Green office holders. And of course, in 2000, we know that George Bush stole an election, and the Democrats, rather than fighting to secure the election they won, instead spent the entire time blaming the Green Party and Ralph Nader, accusing us of being spoilers. In that incredible hostile climate, the Green Party grew to 44 organized state Green Parties. We have today 23 guaranteed ballot lines, and there are 207 elected Green office holders. So against all odds, the Green Party is getting larger, stronger, and better organized, and yet the corporate media is ignoring us or attempting to marginalize and ridicule us every chance we get.
And then is there one specific issue that you have that you care the deepest about, something that keeps you up at night?
Well, I mean, I think that the interrelated, all of the issues are interrelated, but for me, the war in Iraq and its ties to the looming peak oil crisis that we face the crisis of that is going to be coming as a result, and the global warming issue, how those are all intimately tied together, make me terrified, frankly. It also makes me incredibly hopeful when I see how many people are actively organizing in resistance to this transnational corporate empire, how many people are organizing in anti-corporate globalization, pro-global justice movements. You know, so I'm both terrified and inspired at the same time.
Great. Well, thank you so much, David, and thank you so much for running.
Right on. And so, please make sure to put the website, www.votecobb.org.
I will definitely do that, David.
Right on. Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to Perfect Circle, Garlic and Grass exclusive interviews. My name is Tony Bersunas, and we were talking with David Cobb, the Green Party's candidate for president in the upcoming election. Thank you for joining us.